Aren't you going back to bed?
No, I'll just sit up for a bit. I'm feeling a bit blue.
Anything you'd like to talk about?
No, you need your sleep. It's nothing important. Just this feeling that my life's a gaping sinkhole and I'm just marking time while the flower of my youth rots on the vine.
And that's from Frasier. That's Daphne with Frasier. And she's feeling very blue. She's feeling down in the dumps because of, you know, time's passing on and she doesn't have a romantic relationship and she's just feeling sorry for herself. Have you ever been in one of those moods where you just feel like the world caved in on you? And what do you do about it? I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner and my show's The Rational Basis of Happiness. And you can pick up the phone right now and give me a call. My number's toll free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And you can ask me any question that you would ask a counselor or a therapist. And even though it's not therapy, I am a clinical psychologist and I'd love to give you some help. And right now we're turning to the phones and welcoming Fred. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. Tell me, what's your question?
Oh, I was wondering, what is the difference, or how can you tell the difference between depression and manic depressive?
Okay, manic depression is now called bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And the two poles mean that you swing from, guess what, feeling really depressed to feeling what?
Manic.
To feeling manic, to feeling like you just are, your mood is just super energized. And it may be real irritable or it may be just feeling on top of the world. But the key to manic, because it's wonderful to feel on top of the world, isn't it?
Yes.
The key to it is that it's not reality-based, that you're feeling great, you're feeling like you own the world, you're making decisions that are entirely irrational, they don't make sense. You may have sexual indiscretions, you may be going on buying sprees, you may be driving like crazy down a back road, you may be saying things, losing it and saying things to people that are crazy. In your regular state of mind, you would never say such things. So tell me, what do you know someone who you suspect is manic, or is it yourself?
It's myself.
Yeah, what have you noticed?
It seems most of the time it seems like I'm in a depressive state, but every now and then, every once in a while, I'll feel on top of things.
Okay, when you're on top of things, can you tell me the craziest thing you did when you were on top of things, if you did indeed do something crazy?
Oh, I would talk brashly to people and be real, I guess, direct and more, I wouldn't say things that I would normally say.
Okay, I don't know whether you're just being more honest, though. I mean, sometimes we repress so much, and then finally you just let go, and you tell people what you're really thinking, and
mm-hmm.
there's actually more integrity and more honesty there, even if you don't say it tactfully. I mean, it's wonderful if you know assertiveness skills, but short of that, at least you let go. What did you say to whom?
Oh, I would say, like, somebody had borrowed my car, and they didn't seem like they wanted to return it. And so I just confronted them about it, you know. And it ended our friendship.
Well, it sounded like you made a very good decision. I'm glad the friendship ended. Why? If someone borrowed, why are you laughing?
Oh, well, it makes me feel good to know that was a good thing that I did.
If someone borrowed my car and they weren't profusely thankful that I lent them a car,
uh-huh.
and they didn't fill it up with gas and maybe wash the car when they returned it,
uh-huh.
you know, assuming it isn't my sister or someone else, I would do that for someone else. I would fill up the car and I would wash it if they were that generous. If a person does not do that, then they are not a friend worthy of having. They're going to be users. They would use you. So you had the guts to stand up for yourself?
Yes, I did, and then it kind of threw me into a depression, to tell you the truth.
Because you're not used to doing that?
Because I'm not used to doing that, and I'm not used to standing up for myself.
Oh, how did you learn not to stand up for yourself?
I don't know.
Yeah?
Just kind of I figured, yeah, kind of.
When did you learn to be polite and not and bite your tongue and not say what you really feel and stuff it all till your head feels like it's going to explode?
Yeah, I don't want to offend people, and I just kind of stuff it, you know.
Okay, that you don't want to do that to yourself. You want to learn what is called, a body of skills that are called assertiveness skills.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn them many different ways. You need to, there are, basically, if you think of the old type phones, you have a mouthpiece and you have a receiver, right?
Right.
You need to know how, with communication skills, you need both ends. You need to know how to listen actively. And get the person's full context, and then how to ask questions, and then how to say precisely what you mean with laser accuracy without attacking the other person, but without biting your own tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a way to do that. It's called the pronoun I language, as opposed to finger-pointing language. You did this, you did that. You can learn those skills. There are workbooks. You can go to my website, drkenner.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a book. I'm trying to think of what I've got. I know there are assertiveness books. I don't think I have them up on the website. I've given many courses in it, but that's not there. I think the book Couples Skills is there, which even though it's talking about couples will give you skills, this is the book that I have recommended many times is actually a parenting book. It teaches parenting. It teaches you all of these skills, but with pint-sized kids.
Uh-huh.
But they're the same communication skills that you would use with an adult. There's this book called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk.
That's the name of the book?
Yes, that's at my website, drkenner.com. And that book teaches you all of the assertiveness skills you'd ever need. If I were reading that book, it could be how to talk so my husband will listen and listen so my husband will talk, or how my mother will listen and listen. It teaches you beautiful communication skills because it's simple. It teaches it with comic strips and vibrant examples, very relatable examples. So I highly encourage you to get that book. And even though you're not dealing with pint-sized kids, That's an easy way to get the skills. There's also a book, Messages, by McKay and some other authors. Again, that one's not on my website either, but that's a decent book. So here's what I recommend. If you think that you're bipolar, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if all you're talking about is that you're repressed, meaning you've learned how to bite your tongue because you don't want to offend other people.
Mm-hmm.
You're offending one person when you try not to offend anybody else. Who is that?
Myself.
You bet. And you need to be your own best friend. You need to learn the skills. Give your, you know, we learn math. We learn about Attila the Hun. We learn about history in grade school or junior or middle school or high school. But we don't learn assertiveness skills. Learn those skills. If you may browse the bookstores yourself and find some that teach assertiveness skills. That's what they're called. And then you'll be able to speak up. So I would not get trapped in thinking that you have some heavy diagnosis and that you need the medication, because if that's all you did, then that's wonderful. I think that success is like breaking through a barrier for yourself. If there's more to it that you haven't shared with me, for example, if you're speeding down the road 150 miles an hour on a 30 mile an hour road, you know, during a manic episode, then that's different. I'm assuming that's not the case.
No, that's not the case.
Okay, then I congratulate yourself for standing up to this alleged friend. Find better friends.
Okay.
And thank you so much for your call, Fred.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenny. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
A partner to avoid is someone who tries to fake their self-esteem by using defensive actions. A prime example is the chronic use of alcohol and drugs to reduce anxiety. Getting high temporarily blurs the pain and may even yield the illusion of pleasure, but such jolts lack the quality of pleasure based on actual achievements and do not lead to action that would remove the real cause of the pain. Another example of defensive action is lashing out physically in order to exert power over those who threaten your fake self-esteem. Social withdrawal in order to escape the anxiety of dealing with other people is another defensive action. Withdrawing into a shell simply reinforces your feelings of inadequacy.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.